Come, Holy Spirit, come. Be present in our listening and in the spaces in between us and in all that we are to receive from you. Amen. What a beautiful, rich gospel lesson we have today. The parable of the prodigal son. It is a complex and interesting story, and one that can spike a variety of reactions and opinions. And I wonder, what story did you hear today? Was it the story of the younger son, the one who had strayed and gone wrong? Or maybe you heard the story of the older son who was steadfast and honorable. Perhaps you heard the story of the father who both relented and received. Or maybe you heard a different story. Perhaps you heard your own. When we hear another's story, we are first called to listen. And as we listen, we begin processing and we begin analyzing and we start to seek that which we can know. And then we begin to make meaning of it. It is through the making of meaning that we begin to find our own place or our own position within that story. So what is it that we actually can say we know about each of the characters in this story? Let's begin with the younger son. We know that he asks for and he receives from his father his portion of the inheritance, which most commentaries estimate to be about 1/3 of the value of the estate. He sells it, and he takes the money and he goes to a foreign land, and there he squanders it and he engages in wild living. What my mom used to call living high on the hog. And then in a turn of bad luck, not without irony, a famine comes, and having no resources, he's hired as a slave to feed the pigs, which for a Jew, by all rights, would be a culturally and a religiously offensive job, not the place you want to be. And then he finds himself starving, literally hungry, desperate, and he recognizes that he's worse off than the best of slaves on his father's property. In fact, those slaves at least have food. And then it occurs to him, and Luke tells us that it's that he comes into himself, when he comes to himself, but we don't know what it means to come to yourself. But we're guessing. Maybe he had this epiphany. Maybe it was just this bright light bulb above his head. Maybe it's just this moment. But suddenly, if I go back to my father, and if I tell my father that I am unworthy before God and before him, and I plead and beg with him, maybe he will restore me not as his son, but as a slave on his property, and at least I'll eat. So this is what we know about the young man. So next, let's take a look at the dad. We can make a fair assumption about dad, that dad is a man of upstanding status and reputation and that he has property. So he's a member of the community. And he has two sons, and when the younger asked, we know that he gave him what he asked for. And then we hear nothing about the dad again until Luke tells us that he's running toward his son, and he runs to him, and he sees him, and he hugs him, and he kisses him, and he's thrilled to embrace his son. And as his son tries to get those words out, "Father, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy." He's not even listening. "Hey, get him a robe, get him a ring, get him sandals. Let's restore him back into this family. Let us bring him back into relationship. And let's kill a fatted pig or calf. Let's kill a fatted calf and let us celebrate. Because that's what this is about. And in his joy, and you can feel his palpable joy, he is thrilled because here before him, his son has returned alive. And his son has returned found. This is what we know about the Father. So this story can leave us wanting because we have questions. Like, why did he allow his son to take the inheritance? And what was his experience while his son was away? And all we know by his show of actions is that he welcomed him with open arms. And somehow in doing so, he completely forgot about the other son. So then we encounter the older son. And so what do we know about him? We encounter and meet him coming in from the fields. We know that he's got the other part of the inheritance. But beyond that, we don't know much. And then he hears music and he hears celebration. And when he calls a slave and says, hey, what's going on? That slave says, your brother's back. And your father is thrilled and he's killed the fatted calf because he has him back. And the guy is angry. We know he's angry. He refuses to enter into the house. He refuses to engage. And then out comes Dad. Act two of Dad. Back to say, hey, please, come in. Be with us. Please. And this is when the second son blasts his dad. Because he's angry. Because, hey, you took this guy, this so-called son of yours, and you welcomed him back. This guy who squandered his fortune, who hung out with prostitutes, who dishonored you, and I have been here every day honoring you and working hard like a slave, and never once have you acknowledged me, and never once have you given me a celebration. This is ridiculous. And what does Dad do? Dad listens. And in a kind, gentle, caring response, looks at his son and tells him, you're my son and you're beloved. I love you. Everything I have is yours. You are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate. We had to, because this brother of yours has been found. And this brother of yours is alive. And then the story ends. Did you notice that we don't get the conclusion? Indeed, we're left with a lot of questions. And what we know for sure is that there's a lot that we don't know. We don't know the deep, intimate stories of their lives. We don't know why they did what they did. We can only assume. And we can imagine, and we can interject into it. And maybe when we interject, we feel related to that story. But maybe, just maybe, this story is not about the brothers and the father at all. But it's really about us. So if we look closely at what we know in the story, and we look even deeper at our initial reactions about the story, and we recognize that we don't know much, we get that that's the point. For you see, in every single story, yours and mine, there are always layers of things that are hidden. There are always layers of things that are unknown. Even when we feel like we know one another intimately and the best, there is always something that's not there, that's hidden in the lines between. And maybe the heart of this parable is in fact about what's hidden in the lines between. For regardless of whom each has been or who they are in this story, the bottom line is this. The invitation that is extended to both sons is the invitation into restored relationship. It's in restored relationship with one another, and is into restored relationship with their Father. And so it is with us and with God. Buried within the cracks of Jesus' story is this not so subtle message that God always awaits our return into relationship exactly as we are and where we are, with no judgment, no assessments, only with love. It is in the unknown, this mystery of God, that we are found and embraced and restored into relationship. And it is only in and through relationship that we can experience reconciliation. Reconciliation doesn't happen outside of a relationship. So we don't know the end of the story, do we? We're left to wonder. And perhaps that was Jesus's point too. For the story is ours to complete. It is up to us. Will we return again to the God who offers us unconditional, abundant, extravagant love? Will we recognize our own deserving of that and that our neighbors deserve it too? Like the words of our closing hymn that we're going to sing today, we can be reminded that there is a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice, which is more than liberty. There is welcome for the sinner, which is more graces for the good. There is mercy from the Savior, and there is healing in his blood. Amen.